A WBUR investigation is examining the injuries and deaths of inmates while under the care of for-profit companies that have come to dominate health care in county jails in the state. It's a multi-billion dollar industry with little public oversight. Right now, amid the coronavirus outbreak, some sheriffs in the state are releasing prisoners as cases of COVID-19 grow in correctional institutions. And as the virus spreads, these jail healthcare companies will be sorely tested. This morning, WBUR's Christine Wilmson and Beth Healy have part two in our series called Dying on the Sheriff's Watch.
Tape is on. Today's date is Monday, June 22nd, approximately 11:44.
This is a recording of an internal investigation conducted by the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department.
We're just trying to get a picture of what occurred since y'all were cellmates.
Officers are questioning a cellmate of Roderick Pendleton, a 51-year-old truck driver and preacher with four kids.
He was just way beyond sick.
You mean physically?
Physically.
Describe it for me, how he was way beyond sick.
He wasn't eating. He was out there. He used a chair to shower. And he was just constantly in pain.
Over 4 days in the medical unit at the South Bay House of Correction, Pendleton complained to nurses about abdominal pain and begged to go to the hospital, according to a jail report. He kept throwing up in a bucket just feet from the nurse's office.
You look like you're dying.
The nurses, employees of an Alabama company called NAFCARE, apparently didn't recognize Pendleton's dire condition.
I was just thinking, like, why don't they just send him to the hospital?
They sat there and let him suffer all that time, and by he was half dead when they took him to the hospital.
That's Pendleton's sister, Janice. Pendleton died on Father's Day, 2015, within hours of being taken to the hospital, according to the jail's investigation. The medical examiner determined he'd died of a bowel obstruction.
We met Janice at her Dorchester home and shared the records we obtained. It was the first time she'd seen any details of her brother's death.
Oh, wow, he crawled onto the floor.
Janice pages through the testimony of her brother's cellmates describing his decline. She can't understand why the staff didn't send him to the hospital sooner.
He laid in that. Infirmary suffering, and there was no one with him.
To this day, no one has answered Janice's question. Why didn't her brother get help in time?
Do you remember Roderick Pendleton?
I do not.
That's Cindy Lou Lyons. She was one of the nurses responsible for his care, and now manages NAFCARE staff at the jail.
Honestly, I don't remember the case, and I can't answer on something that I don't recall.
Is there a death that sticks out in your mind?
No.
No one else at NAFCARE would comment on Pendleton's death. Suffolk County Sheriff Stephen Tompkins declined to be interviewed. The jail's superintendent is Yolanda Smith.
This is certainly not to pass the buck on NAFCARE, but we hire NAFCARE to handle medical care.
NAFCARE has not always met its obligations to the jail. The Suffolk County Sheriff charged the company $2.4 million in penalties from 2015 to 2017 for staffing shortages. More than half of the 13 county jails in the state hire private firms to provide health care at a cost to taxpayers of about $42 million a year. WBUR found cases in which staff overlooked serious symptoms, dispensed the wrong medication, or disregarded pleas for help.
At the Suffolk County Jail, a man alleges he was wrongly told he had HIV and was made to take medication for it and didn't get his anti-seizure meds. A 22-year-old barber alleged that his severe allergic reaction to antibiotics was ignored, leading to a long hospital stay and most of his skin peeling away. Companies paid settlements in both cases.
These companies are inherently motivated to make money. I mean, that's why they're in the business.
Andrew Harris is a criminal justice professor at UMass Lowell. He says rationing care outside of jail is one thing, but when you're locked up, you have no control over your health care. And you can't dial 911.
There's a calculus that takes place. There are going to be situations where care is going to be withheld, very often with negative consequences for the patients.
That's what Eileen Taylor saw as a physician assistant for NAFCARE at the Essex County Jail.
If they could cut a corner, they would. They would, absolutely.
She says while working there in 2016 and 17, NAFCARE tried to limit urgent orders for blood tests because they cost extra money. Other medical orders were overridden, Taylor says, by NAFCARE staff in an office 1,000 miles away.
They would go over our charts, and they are usurping my orders on my patients that I saw but that was saving them money.
She also says staff was reminded that hospital trips were costly.
It was like, don't send them out unless you absolutely positively have to, you know, the hospital. It had nothing to do with proper care.
Taylor has a workers' comp claim against the company and is part of a lawsuit with employees over pay.
NAFCARE denied overriding orders and said it sends patients to the hospital when necessary. WBUR found that trying to avoid hospital trips, even in emergencies, is not only embedded in jail culture, but in the contracts between sheriffs and the private companies. Suffolk's contract with NAFCARE seeks to limit the number of medical trips outside the House of Correction to 80 per month. When NAFCARE goes over the cap, it pays the sheriff a penalty of $100 per trip.
The Suffolk County Jail Assistant Deputy Superintendent, Rochelle Steinberg, defends the use of penalties.
If we have someone that has IV antibiotics, we have asked the medical vendor to be able to manage those on site so we don't have a person at the hospital for weeks on end with officers there 24 hours a day, as opposed to being able to perform that function on site.
We found caps, bonuses, and penalties aimed at limiting healthcare costs in jail contracts across the state. David Fati is director of the ACLU National Prison Project.
It's hard to imagine a more blatant and inappropriate disincentive to provide care than a financial penalty for providing care.
Essex also had incentives to cut down on trips, but got rid of them under its new healthcare provider, WellPath Holdings of Nashville, Tennessee. It's the largest in the country, with private equity owners and $1.6 billion in annual revenue. These private companies serve another purpose for sheriffs. They assume a portion of liability when things go wrong.
According to a lawsuit filed by his father, the jail's medical staff and the rapid response team made crucial mistakes that likely led to his slow and painful death.
Today shows the WellPath workers who were on duty at the jail the morning Bolthouse suffered 17 seizures and died.
Our investigation into her death pointed to larger questions about policies at the jail and the private company that's running its health care.
WellPath and its predecessor company have been sued in federal court more than 1,200 times in the past 5 years. Both WellPath and NAFCARE boast in marketing materials that they've never lost a legal case. Behind the scenes, both companies have settled lawsuits totaling millions of dollars, according to court records and news reports across the country. Kip Hallman is president of WellPath.
This is a litigious environment. Anybody can file a lawsuit, and I think they see us as being a solution to that problem.
Based on the contract we signed and the money we're paying them, I think we're getting a good bang for our buck.
That's Worcester County Jail Superintendent David Tuttle. In a recent contract with the jail, WellPath pledged to cut hospital and offsite spending sharply and to split any savings with the sheriff.
And to be honest with you, like the insinuation that I think you're making and other people have made is, well, this forces you to cut care and costs. And because it wasn't true, why even have it in there anymore? So it was taken out. There wasn't.
But you did use it.
Yeah, it wasn't that much. It was a couple of $1,000s maybe.
In fact, Worcester got more than $51,000 over 2016 and 17.
One of WellPath's founders is Jerry Boyle. He started as a prison guard and became superintendent of Bridgewater State Hospital. He's pleaded not guilty to bribing a Virginia sheriff to win health contracts. Boyle has resigned, but before that, he helped WellPath win contracts with Worcester and other jails. A note here, WellPath is a financial underwriter for WBUR. It had no editorial involvement in this story. Hallman, the WellPath president, stands behind the contracts.
The contracts are very similar to what you would find in healthcare at large, what we would call the free world.
The other large jail medical provider in Massachusetts is Correctional Psychiatric Services, or CPS. It holds medical contracts with four county jails in the state. One of them is with the Bristol County Jail.
So just take these little cards I gave you to swipe them up against this box, okay?
Since CPS signed a contract with Bristol in 2009, there have been 29 deaths. No other jail had more.
More and more you're seeing, we become hospitals in a lot of ways.
That's Sheriff Thomas Hodgson. He defends CPS's work and says jails have challenging populations.
Older inmates who've come in who've been involved in drugs for quite some time and, you know, they're not as nearly as healthy as they would be otherwise.
Hodgson has done a number of controversial things over the years, including charging inmates copays for health care. He says his jail staff is focused on the care and custody of inmates.
It's never to our advantage to fall short of giving the proper care to anybody here. That's That's our charge.
It was at Hodgson's Jail in Bristol on March 16, 2012, that Kelly White was dying. It would later be determined she had a heart infection that could have been treated with IV antibiotics. She was 42 and had been at Bristol for 3 days, picked up on a warrant for owing $200 in court fees. She was sick and withdrawing from longtime drug use.
Jail records show that morning, a nurse sent her to the infirmary in the next building over. A couple of hours later, guards brought White back to her cell. But right away, inmates were shouting that she needed help.
Her cellmate told me she knew she was going to die. She said it to her. I'm dying. You know, how much pain do you have to be in to say to yourself, I'm dying?
That's White's sister, Abigail Malstay. Officers took White to a maintenance hallway, where she waited in a wheelchair for a ride back to the infirmary. It was too late. At 11:43 a.m., White was no longer responsive.
It's frustrating because there is a window where she possibly, could have been helped. So it's like, what the hell went on where they're like, good to go, back to this cold cell alone?
We asked Sheriff Hodgson why Kelly White didn't go to the hospital sooner. He deferred to CPS.
CPS declined to go on tape and would not comment on White's death. The company's operating chief, Beth Cheney, said, quote, the last thing we want is to have people die.
Malstay says it's not just the death that bothers her.
People die. I get it. We're all going to die. Not like that, though. Not like that. Foam at the mouth, scared as hell.
For Malstay and for other relatives of inmates we spoke to, it's the suffering. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Beth Healy.
And I'm Christine Wilmson.